art, comedy, pop culture, and much more. You're listening to ACPN.
Go to the bar. Welcome to the Romance Bar. Good evening, Gata.
Good evening, Colleen.
And welcome to another edition of the Romance Bar with our special guest returning for yet another episode, Kim.
Hi, everyone. I invited myself back.
Well, I mean, how could we not have you back? It's Ice Planet Barbarian time, and you're it.
Yeah, you're the reason we read this crap. Wait, I'm sorry.
Wow. I need to go cry in the corner. Wow.
Oh my God, Colleen.
I'm so sorry.
Not sorry.
That was very hard about it.
We should edit it out. I'm sorry. I'm sorry to Ruby Dixon. Okay. This thought occurred to me like 2 seconds before we started recording. So the first page I read, I got very Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy vibes. I sent it to a friend of mine who loves Hitchhiker's Guide. And I said, tell me this does not give you Hitchhiker's Guide. And she said, oh my God, it does. I should have known from there it was going to be downhill because I did not like Hitchhiker's Guide, sadly, because there was so much hype around it.
I've never read Hitchhiker's Guide, so I can't.
Okay, so Hitchhiker's Guide.
Can't make a comparison.
Okay, so Hitchhiker's Guide is like the thing that everybody, every friend, member of my friend circle loves. And the movie had everything. It had Martin Freeman. It had Alan Rickman being a depressed AI. Mopey depressed, sarcastic AI. Stephen Fry did the audiobook. And I was like, okay, let me do this thing. Like everything, like the David Tennant run of Doctor Who had a lot of references to Hitchhiker's Guide. And I was just like, all right, let me give it a whirl. And I listened to it and it ended. And I was like, that's it. What was everybody talking about here? I don't understand. I'm not feeling it. I broke a lot of my friends' hearts by telling them that I didn't like it as much. And I said, because it was overhyped. It was oversold. And I feel this book might have fallen into that same category. But before we get into that, and how if I was kidnapped now by aliens, I would be very not ready for the ice planet with my current outfit of a t-shirt and shorts. I just gotta say, but I prepped coffee because I needed coffee to discuss to do the whole breakdown. What is everybody else drinking?
My usual White Claw.
I know you're gonna say that
since it's White Claw iced tea this time.
I was gonna ask what flavor. I was almost gonna drink alcohol, but I was like, you guys need me awake. Alcohol put me
to sleep. I have two toddlers that I care for all day, every day. So when they go to bed,
hey,
mom gets to relax.
Mom needs whatever she wants. Did you have a nice Mother's Day at least, Kim?
I did. I normally host my family and my husband's families, and since everyone is vaccinated, we were able to continue our tradition with a 1 year break from, you know, last year. So it was nice. It was nice.
That's awesome.
Yes. I too have had a social distance hangout. Well, not because we're all vaxxed where you're like, oh, there's a certain level of, okay. You know, you feel a little better when you hang out. I hung out in a park and I was like, oh, forgot that. And I also forgot to wear sunscreen and got sunburn, which is now like, you know, when the sunburn gets itchy.
Yep.
Because it's, and I'm like, but it's not in a spot that you can easily just scratch.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh, okay. You know, you understand why cats need a scratching post and like just. I'm like, it's.
Oh my God, Colleen.
I know. I'm just like, it itches so bad. And I was just like, oh, please be peeling. That's all I really want. What are you drinking, Gata, since it's after 9 o'clock?
It's water. I'm drinking water.
And Ramadan is almost over.
I know. It's been a month.
It's been a month since I pestered you with annoying Ramadan questions.
Well, I mean, it's sad to see it go because, you know, once you get used to it, it's kind of like it has its own, you know, like atmosphere that just, you know, but I mean, I'll be having coffee in the morning again. So there is that, I guess.
Okay. That is a bonus.
Yeah.
Did anyone see the girl I forgot on Instagram who was doing like this? Because there was a trend of like, how book covers look, but like if they were translated to dresses, but she did it with romance books and hijabs.
That was part of the Rom Book Love Twitter chat. One day was pairing book covers with like fashion aesthetic that would fit it. I want to say it was like day three, because I was like, I am not creative enough for this, but good on all of the rest of you who are sharing beautiful pairings.
Yeah, some of them were really, like, I'm always amazed, like, when people do that regular, and then when she did, I was like, oh, I get it. There was only one that I didn't like, and I think it was just because the way the girl was posed, mm-hmm. that it threw me off, that I was just like, if she was just sitting differently, or standing differently, I'd love it. But otherwise, I was like, she did a very good job.
Send it to me. I didn't see it.
You know, well, now, because, you know, Google has to be at our fingertips. Non-spawn, as always. Which I feel we should also discuss. My Target venture. Also non-spawn. The place that, you know, holds my heart other than my husband.
I love Target.
It's full of amazing, wonderful things. I found a bathing suit.
Good.
Which I was like, yes, finally, bathing suit that was not expensive. Wait, and Gata, now that Ramadan's over, will we be going back to baking, or have we not baked?
Oh, we have not baked. I don't know if I'll go back to baking yet. We'll see. I don't know. We'll see how it goes. I haven't baked in a very long time, actually. Well, yeah, the last time I baked was with you, but I haven't baked before that. I haven't done anything after that, so, yeah.
I think, Gata, you just need to come over here and bake with me. That's the answer to that. And Kim, you're welcome if you want to come over.
I do love baking.
You can bring the kids over. It's my apartment.
You don't want that.
Okay. If mama needs a day, it's fine. I was just saying, if you wanted to.
It's very nice of you. You don't want the high energy that is my kids.
You'll be singing a lot of Disney tunes and doing a lot of dancing.
Do I have Disney Tunes Pandora channel? Yes, I do. Sorry.
Well, maybe the kids will be happy at Colleen's, Kim. You don't know.
Do you want to just drop them off here so you can go, like, have you time? Like, is that what you really want? I mean, I don't know if you...
You want small people to be at your, you know, ankles nonstop when you go to the bathroom, when you're trying to make lunch, you're trying to change, have a shower. They're always with you. I love them to death, but I'd like my own shadow back instead of 2 minutes your ones.
Well, there was somebody who I follow on Instagram, and she was talking about, was it on Instagram or Twitter? She goes, you know, her daughter is 2 years old, and she goes, I have not pooped, showered, peed, done anything by myself in the 2 years that she's been alive. Mm-hmm. Because she's always with me. My husband has had that luxury of being able to poop, pee, and shower all by himself.
Mm-hmm. And it's a rarity to be alone.
Yeah, and it always is the mom.
Yep.
Oh, always. And I'm sure every mother has uttered the phrase at least once of when you hear the kid go do the Stewie, mom, mommy, mama, mom. And mom has responded with, I'm changing my name and I'm not telling you what it is.
I say that all the time. And I have the added luxury of two children who are verbal. So one starts mom and then the other starts doing it. And then it's like a chorus of mom, 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 mom. And it just, they feed off of each other.
I was there. I can tell you that's true. I tried to help Kim. It did not work very well. You know, I'm not their mother, but, you know.
They love you.
I do love them, too, so.
They love you. Is Aunt Gata coming? And when Aunt Gata comes to visit, every day for a week then, it becomes, is Aunt Gata coming back today? It's like, no, Aunt Gata has work. Oh, she coming tomorrow? No, she has work. Is she coming back later today? No, she was here this morning.
And she stayed all day, and it's like 10 o'clock at night, and she needs to go home.
Well, at least you know that you are loved, Gata.
By Sarah. I do, yes.
Very yes. much loved.
Which is awesome.
I'm just pet sitting for a dog who loves you. That's.
I do love Hallie, and Hallie loves me too, so. I am yes. loved by all children and animals. Look at that.
You know what loves me? Carbs. Carbs love me. That's why they take forever for them to go away.
I'm sorry. Hello? Yes, they do. They love me too. Oh.
Carbs are forever on my hips. There's probably the cronut that I tried in, you know, 2014, that whenever those things came in fashion, that are
do you know
still
what?
There.
I never had a cronut.
I never had either.
So. Yeah. I think it was one of the times that my parents had gone into the city, aka Manhattan, for any of those outside of New York, for doctor's appointments. And my dad knew where the bakery was, so Doris was like, can we go? But they don't, like... And when they were serving the Corona, it's not like, oh, can I have the blueberry flavor Corona? Can I have it? No, they only serve one flavor per day. That was it. And the flavor, and I think it happened to be peach the two times that we got it. It wasn't bad, but you could definitely not eat a whole one by yourself. And this would be too much sugar for two small children to have. Because, you know, your kids need tons of sugar, don't they?
I mean, listen.
I like let them have. I'm not one of those parents who's like, no, you can never have sugar. But I certainly am not one that's like, here's some ice cream, and then you can have a cookie later, and then you can eat this, and you can eat, like, you know, they balance fairly well.
I think that balance is the important thing. Yeah. When you say no to, we used to joke because my sister was very healthy, and my sister's still very, you know, tries to eat healthy and, like, you know, cook meals on the regular. Although now that they're teenagers, they eat my sister out of house and home. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, boys have constant appetites that are never ending. And, you know, my mom teases, and she goes, I just went to the grocery store 2 days ago and all the food's gone. How has this happened? And, you know.
That's me with toddlers.
Yeah.
Yep.
You bought food and it's all gone. It doesn't, mm-hmm. it doesn't last, but I know, but I cooked food and it's, none of it was for us. We're taking like the tiny portions of leftovers. Oh, speaking of post-pandemic things. Well, since we're still in the pandemic, we did one thing that we haven't done in a very long time. The husband and I, we actually ate in a restaurant.
What?
That's great.
We did. We actually kind of went on a little bit of a date. And I was just like, huh, things that we haven't done in a very long time. We had to sit and think about, like, before pandemic hit, when did we actually get to do this?
Yeah.
And I think it was during Sonic the Hedgehog, because it was the dine-in movie theater experience, which Gata, I know we've dragged you to. Gata was our wonderful... welcome third wheel on Valentine's Day for a very long time.
Yeah.
That last one.
Yeah. Yeah, I always had a standing date with Colleen and John every Valentine's Day.
You are welcome to the next Valentine's Day. You're more than welcome to join us in whatever we're going to be doing, whatever it is.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
If I did anything, you would be invited, Kata, but I...
Well, they usually go to the movies.
Right.
So I go with them. That's what it is.
Basically it. We've seen...
That's what we do.
Yeah. No. Hobbs and Shaw.
Hobbs and Shaw, we saw the Lego movies.
Yes.
What else did you do?
Lloyd,
yeah.
No, I know we've seen a couple of movies. Hobbs and Shaw was probably the highlight for us, though. Like, that was our favorite.
I know. Oh, my God. That movie is so good. I rewatch it all the time. I'm obsessed with that movie. It's so beautiful.
I can't wait for the sequel.
Yeah, I can't wait either.
I think Bradley Cooper needs to be a part of the sequel. Don't know how they need to factor him. Just factor him in. Just factor him in for 5 minutes. Like, the amount that Ryan Reynolds was in the first one, that's how much Bradley Cooper needs to be in the second one.
Yeah, I know.
I think it'll be great. I don't know. I have nothing but faith in those writers.
Yeah.
I don't know where it's coming from, but I do. But we should probably get to tonight's book.
Sure. I mean, who got us into it but Kim?
It is
the reason why we're reading this book, because Kim is obsessed. She read the whole Planet Barbarian. Then she read the Ice Home series, which is
a spinoff.
And there was another series that's also a spinoff.
No,
and you didn't.
The Dragon series is just another of the author's series. It's not related to Ice Home or Barbarians.
Okay, so Ice Home and Barbarians. I know that Barbarians is like 22 books.
There's 18 books, and I believe that's including the majority of the novellas. And then Ice Home is not finished, but together the two series make out to be about 40 books right now, and she's still writing them. There's still, I would say, maybe seven or eight pairings that don't have books yet that she still has to write.
Okay. Before we truly delve into this, Gata, would you like to mention the title for my husband here, John?
Oh, yes. Right. Hello. Right. Hi, John.
Hi.
So the title for tonight is Ice Planet Barbarians.
By Ruby Dixon.
By Ruby Dixon.
Ice Planet Barbarians.
Yes. Uh-huh. Ice Planet Barbarians.
I think I just went cross-eyed.
Yeah. And I'm gonna see if I can show you the cover. Can you see
the sexy man again?
Well, I mean, they're all
kind of.
Yeah.
John, but I don't know if you can see, but here you go.
Oh, I'm like, what's going on? I didn't see the lady.
Well, you don't need to see the lady. It's okay.
Okay. is it set in present time?
It's kind of ambiguous. It's science
fiction. Yeah. But it's not in flying saucers time. So, you know, I don't know.
Yes, it is.
Oh, it is? Okay, then yes, it is in flying saucers time. I don't know, Kim.
So, the most basic way I can think of maybe what it is it's the adult version of Ice Age?
No.
No. No.
No?
No.
No. Sorry.
There's barbarians and there's ice. And
yes.
And it's a planet of ice. Is it Star Wars? Is it something about Star Wars?
It's not related. It's not related to Star Wars, but you're right. There is a planet
on an ice planet.
It is an ice planet, and there are barbarians on that ice planet.
Barbarians because they live very
primitively.
Primitively, yeah. There's not like technology. They still hunt with like made spears. Their clothing is made of furs.
Yeah.
but they're, you know, intelligent.
And blue.
And blue.
And blue.
And blue.
Like,
yes.
Like Abada.
Yeah.
Colleen's making faces. I guess I should go.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, thank you, John. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Anytime.
Thanks for trying to guess. I enjoyed that.
I always try.
He came close once.
He really did come close once. It was very good, and we were both surprised. It was like, what?
Yes. And that was with Richard Armitage.
Yeah.
Good old Richard Armitage. I had double dose of Richard Armitage day. I was watching Ocean's 8 and listening to Wonderlust.
Oh my God, I just watched Ocean 8 like 2 days ago or 3 days ago.
Such a gem of a film. So yes.
And yeah.
Okay, so as I said, the book takes place, it's all first person narration. It goes by very fast, I have to say. I was just like, wait a minute, how am I already on page 100? And I was just like, oh, okay, all right, let's keep going. But as I'm sitting here looking at my clothing, I'm like, yeah, if I was kidnapped by aliens right now, I'd be doomed. I would not survive the ice planet.
I agree. So I really started late. I started this morning to read it because I did not have time. I wasn't in a mental state of, I don't know. I wasn't in a reading state, I guess. So I started this morning.
God, and I was having a reading problem.
I've been having a reading problem, actually. What's keeping me reading is the pod, because I have to read to talk about the books.
You know what my solution is to every time I can't get into my books.
I know. Reread.
Marrying Winterborn.
Yeah.
There, got it.
Every time. Every time works like a champ. Every time.
Yeah, it does work. It does. I know that. So I started this morning and it really does go quickly, and I finished it in, you know, I was surprised how short it was because I thought it was a bit more. I mean, the first book is interesting. It is not what I expected. I really didn't know what to expect, though, even with all of Kim's, like, you know, guidance in this. I still wasn't sure what to expect. I mean, I think the language barrier was super funny, trying to understand each other. But I mean, it's also like you understand when two people meet that have no idea what the other is saying. You kind of, you know, you see that a lot, how they're misunderstanding each other and kind of doesn't translate correctly. It was interesting, and the planet they're on is not, you know, a very hospitable planet right now, and it just, I don't know, it was interesting. What do you think?
Well, I should retract my statement of saying crap. I'm going to give Ruby Dixon this much credit, and it is credit. I did appreciate that it wasn't like they didn't automatically get on the same page when they met each other. Because, okay, you're on a foreign planet. Who's to say, you know, English is automatically the language spoken, you know, like that they're automatically going to understand each other. And I was like, okay, that I feel is very, as deep as this is in sci-fi, there is that level of realism there. And of course, again, she gets kidnapped while she's sleeping. So she's in the most impractical pajamas ever. I mean, that's rom-com gold right there.
Yeah.
Although, and of course, the food that they're getting forced to eat is disgusting. Like, for her, she's like, she can barely tolerate any
of the
food.
It's raw meat also.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I'm thinking of the seaweed bars that she gets when she first gets kidnapped by the other...
By the alien, weird green people.
The basketball head people.
Yeah.
So, And of course I left because I was like, oh, she's from Florida. And then she meet, and the other girl is from Texas. No. Where's she from, Kim?
They're I think, from everywhere. They're from, I think, I'm 39 books ahead of you guys. So.
I think she's from Arkansas. From yeah, they I come from everywhere, yeah.
Yeah. Well, the one that she talks to, I forgot the one that had, I don't remember where the girl that has the ear, she has like a translator like stapled yeah. into her ear. Mm-hmm. I don't remember where she's from. I know the
it's either Kansas or Arkansas.
The aliens that kidnap them don't collect them from one space. They collect right. them from all over the U.S. And that's what the women discover. The
well,
more...
one was from France. I know
yeah.
that.
Mm-hmm. The more that you get into the series and the more that you find out about the women, you find out that they're from everywhere. They come from all walks of life. And especially with the Ice Home, the spinoff series, it goes into their careers more and how they try to tie their careers into being able to help do something like on the planet. Like one woman is a scientist and she studies prehistoric, I don't know how to describe it. Like she studies like geology in a sense, but like prehistoric geology. And so she specializes in like Earth's ice age. And so she starts collecting, she finds fossils on the planet and she starts collecting some of the animals that are killed to start doing some type of like evolutionary study so that she can see like what the planet is doing. It's really fascinating. Like the more that the books go on and the more that you delve into, you know, as much as I've said to you guys in the past, it's very, that Ruby Dixon does a really good job with the world building. As the books go on, especially the Ice Home series, the character development, of the women and tying it into, the circumstances on the planet, she does a really, really good job.
Okay, so let me ask you this. Comparing book one of Iceland Barbarian to book, let's say, five, what would you say to people that if they read book one, they'll be like, well, this is not for me. I don't want to read this. I don't see very much of any plot in here. And you've read, like, almost mm-hmm. all of them. What would you say?
I would say that, like, there's definitely one main plot that happens between books like 1, 2, 3, and I want to say 4. I think that one arc completes with 4. And the middle to later barbarian books start to feel a little bit repetitive. But the world building pieces that get added into the later books is what kept me, like the books that felt repetitive to me in terms of how the relationships developed. The things that Dixon sprinkles in about the world itself is what kept me going into Ice Home. And I think that the Ice Home books are 10 times better than the barbarian ones, but you can't get there without the original, like the barbarian ones.
Okay.
You need the barbarians to understand Ice Home.
Okay, so are they all, like, do they get longer as they go? Or are they roughly around the same?
I've listened to every single one of them on audio. I have not read one of them. I've listened to all of them on audio. And there are some audiobooks that are like 5.5 hours, which I think is what book one is. It's like 5.5 hours. Mm-hmm. And then the last one that I just listened to was closer to 9. So yeah, they do get longer. But some of them are also not super long. Some of them are novella length. Some of them are even shorter than novella length. They're all over the map. There are some stories where there's a lot going on in the world. And so the world and the couple's story is happening in tandem. Mm. Those books are longer. Like the very first Ice Home book is a lot longer because it you have to get from the Barbarian series to the Ice Home series with that book. And I don't want to ruin things, but there's like a location move.
Okay. So it gets progressively. So I would say, like, based on this, I mean, right now, just because I was like, wow, I don't. Again, I think probably because mostly sci-fi is not my, even though, yes, I like Star Wars. Yeah, I like Star Wars, Star Trek, but it's usually not my go-to.
Same here. Same here.
Usually not. So that's why I was like, when I was first reading, I was like, maybe I'm judging it too harshly, because again, this is not my wheelhouse. This is not my comfort thing. I would probably, I mean, I'm not, I might just not be in the headspace to continue going like him has. But I would, but I'm also
sci-fi
reading this.
Is not normally my go-to either. And I mean, this is probably, I would say this is maybe one of three sci-fi series that I've read. And this is definitely the longest. This is the longest series I've read, period. I've never read another 40-book series at all.
I would say at this point, I feel Dark Hunters is kind of close for me in that sense. But I think the other problem that I was having just with this, because I was reading this simultaneously with the book we're discussing next week, and it's such a different... Like, the world building is so different.
There's no comparison between the
right.
two, yeah.
And I'm just saying it's made it, so it made this book fall a little bit flatter for me because
that's
of
the valid.
World building. Whereas, like, okay, if I read this, like, when you told me to read this, Cam, I might have felt differently.
I will be honest, like, the early Ice Home book, the early Barbarian books, they are not, like, you know, phenomenal, 5 stars, give it to me. I want to read this on my favorites shelf forever and ever. but for me, what sold me was learning more about the world. Like, for example, like one of the books, one of the they find a, actually you find out in book one with Georgie and Vecdal. They find what Vecdal says, this is the Elder Cave. And when Georgie sees it, it's actually a spaceship, right? And she's like, this is a spaceship. And he doesn't know. Like, his people have been telling him, his elders have told him for forever, this is the Elder Cave, right? And she realizes that it's a spaceship. And she is trying to figure out a way to get home still at this point. And she, like, the spaceship will talk when you ask it questions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so she asks them to tell her how many people are on the planet, because they're trying to find out if the aliens that kidnapped them are also, they crash landed and they're trying to find out if anyone survived. Right. And when the computer answers Georgie and is like, oh, there's, you know, 15 Sakwi, which are the aliens, that's their species name. Like, we're humans, they're Sakwi. They're like, oh, there's 25 of you. And Vecdal is like, no, there's not. There's 24. And the computer's like, there's 25. And so it's like this little thing that's planted in your head, right? And it's like, oh, well, maybe the computer is like, you know, a bajillion years old and doesn't know what's happening. And then, like, book 3, I think it is, one of the women gets kidnapped by an alien that is a Sakwi that no one knows who he is. And he's been living on his own, hidden from the entire tribe his whole life. He's never been part of the tribe that Vecdal is the chief leader, clan leader, whatever you want to call him. So, like, little things get sprinkled here and there. Like, there's one book where one of the women is, like, standing on a cliff, and she's like, I think I can see something green over there. And the guy that she's with is like, what? Green? And he's like, no, there's nothing green on this planet, right? It's an ice planet. Everything is frozen. There's not green trees sitting around. Well, that green thing that gets thrown into like book 6 or 7 becomes huge, a huge part of Ice Home. So like the way that things are just sprinkled just kept my appetite wet. And I was like, I have to know, like, why is the computer saying that there's more people than there are? What is that green thing that they see? There's like a giant pterodactyl like animal. And it's like, where did that come from? Like, so it's like all these things just get sprinkled in that for me, that's what I kept reading for. As much as I liked all of the characters that I was being introduced to, I also, the planet became a character for me because it was like, there was just so much happening in it. They find like these characters that are kind of, animals that are like, oh my God, I'm like so embarrassed right now because I can't think of the name of them. But the Star Wars characters that look like white llamas. Why can't I think of the name?
Oh. The white llamas.
Oh. Alpacas?
No, no, it's from Star Wars. It's from Star Wars. Characters that look like llamas.
Oh. Oh my God, I don't know.
The ones on the ice. The ones on Hoth.
My brain is not working tonight.
Okay, all of us are blanking right now, and right? I feel like any Star Wars nerd...
I've been watching Star Wars since I was 5. My brain just shut off. My brain was like, oh, you need that word? Not tonight. Right. Bye.
Well, and you know what? Well,
Tauntaun.
What are they?
Tauntaun.
Tauntauns,
yes, yes. So there's a whole species of these Tauntaun-looking things, right, on the planet. And one of the women that you meet is deaf, and she knows sign language. And she gets captured by these Tauntauns, and the only way that she knows how to communicate is by sign language. And somehow, the Tauntaun-looking animal understands what she's saying and, like, signs back to her. And it's like, but how do you know that? You're on an ice planet. ASL doesn't exist there. Like, what? Right? So, like, little things like that would be, like, sprinkled in, and I'm like, I gotta know more.
You got it. I could see how that would get very, how it would get, you have to see it through. I think that's probably how I ended up getting through a lot of Molly Harper's books, because there would just be that like one little detail. I'm like, oh, I have to see how this goes and read further. And as you were explaining the ship that talks, I'm like, oh, that's like Superman's ship. How his, when he... it crashes and it talks to him and it has all the answers that, you know, you need. And I'm like, oh, okay. So she's, you could definitely see that Ruby Dixon is a sci-fi fan and sprinkles those little things, those details. Like I said, the first page, I got Hitchhiker's Guide vibes, that very opening page. So I think for any sci-fi fan that wants a very quick read, and obviously, I think most sci-fi fans enjoy a good 40-book
series.
Yeah,
they gobble that up. They're like, this is nothing.
It's like part of why I like, you know, series romance that are series of families, right? Like,
of course.
Like look at the Ravenels with the first book, Reese with Winterbourne, who is just gotta knows the ideal man. Okay,
he's the ideal man for Kim.
He and Helen, who becomes his wife in book 2, right, they're introduced and they have like a little sequence together and that's it. And I was like, give me more. So then book 2 comes, right, and then in book 2 you get a little sprinkling of, you know, little sprinkles here and there of the next characters, and you become invested in the family. And so in this case, the family is the planet for me.
Yeah.
But I'm very aware that Ice Planet Barbarians is not everyone's cup of tea.
I think it was like I said, I think if I read it when everybody, if I wasn't reading it in tandem with next week's book, I probably would have felt differently and probably been like, okay, now I have to continue as far as you have, Kim.
I mean, I also think because how short the book is, you kind of have to keep reading, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Because you want to know, like, you're like, okay, this is enough. I don't understand what happened. Can I know more? So you keep reading and reading and reading, and you're like 30 books in, and you're like, I still need to understand more. So that's what happens. I mean, I thought it was very quick. I liked Georgie as a character. I liked him as a character. I just don't know if this is my cup of tea. I'm not sure. As I said, it was just too short, and I wanted more information, and I didn't get all the information I needed or wanted. So, I mean, there is book 2 and 3 and 4.
And 40.
And 40, which, I mean, it may give you the answers. It may not. We don't know, guys. But, like, I understand the hype behind it, too, because the description of, like, the male of the species is very descriptive.
I can't sing that because otherwise we don't have copyright.
I guess it's an attractive thing, and it's you know, it would invite people in to join the cult of Ice Planet Barbarians. But like, listen, I don't know.
It is a cult. It's a cult. Gotta just admit it.
But it's a good also, kind of cult. It's a good kind of cult. We're not brainwashing people here.
No.
I think also the early books suffer from the fact that so much of the storytelling for those first, like I said, the main arc ends, I think, with book 4, if my brain is remembering correctly. So much of it is not about those first 4 books is not about the women like settling in the tribe and like learning new skills and their, you know, how their careers can translate. So much of that first couple of books is about the fact that Vecdal's tribe has been, you know, massively wiped out from a sickness. And so there's not a lot of their people left. So all of the men of the tribe have figured that they would die unmated and that their tribe would die out because you can only have children if you have a mate. It's very fated mates, like, in that sense. Mm-hmm. And so much of the book, the first 4 books, is about them trying to deal with the fear of the alien kidnappers coming back and how do we deal with this threat that is not here now and is not really one that we can prepare for very, very strongly either. So the first 4 books really take up a lot of that mantle rather than the planet's development.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I mean, it's super interesting to know where they come from. Like now, I think when you start reading more into the book, you're like, okay, where did they come from? If that cave, which has been there for like hundreds of years,
exactly,
which is the spaceship, well, who and why and when and where and how did the Kui, I guess, is that what it's called?
The Sakui.
The Sakui, you know, got there and like what exactly is happening. So, you know, you get invested in that. You're like, you want to know how did it all start and what
all
happens.
Of things just create more questions.
Yeah. And,
you know, why don't they know that this is a spaceship? Like, how long has it been there?
Yeah.
That the fact that it was a spaceship has been lost, that they literally just think it's a cave now. Like,
yeah.
You know, but when Vecdal talks about like the history of his people, it's like, oh, we've only been here like 100 years. And it's like, well, wait a minute. That's impossible that 3 generations would forget that this was a spaceship.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Which is interesting to find out. Yeah.
So you're like, so you in your head as a reader are like, oh my God, there's a mystery about this. Like what, how long have they really been there? Like, you know,
yeah.
So for me, all that little stuff just totally like drew me in. At one point they find a place that has drawings carved in the wall of the aliens, but they have 4 arms instead of 2. And you're like, but wait a minute, none of these people have 4 arms. And like Vecdal is like asking his elders and he's like,
did we ever have four arms? And everyone's like, no. And it's like, wait a minute, there's another species of alien on this planet. Where did they go? And it becomes kind of like, what is that American in Roanoke, right? Like all those people just disappeared.
Yeah.
Right. It's like they wind up calling their area Roanoke. Because they're like, where did these people go? There's these drawings and nothing else. Like, where are the four-armed people? So it's, you know, all these interesting little tidbits thrown in that you really just become, but well, tell me, where are these four-armed people? But where did they go?
I would like to know. Okay, so I want to fully describe what, how do you say his name? Bechdel?
Bechdel.
Looks like, but I feel that would be doing a disservice for the people I want to read the book. Mm-hmm. I'm just gonna say he has horns and he's blue. That's all I'm leaving it at, because that's on the cover.
He has fangs.
He does have fangs and a tail.
A tail, long dark hair.
Mm-hmm.
They're blue, and he's extremely well endowed.
Yes,
extremely well endowed.
He's gifted.
They all are. They all are.
They're gifted. That's all I'm going to say. He's almost like, 8 foot tall?
Yeah, he's huge. They're all huge. The guys are all massive.
Mm-hmm. But huge, I think also, in every sense of the word.
Yeah, yeah. I think also, you know, reading the whole series, it also, to go back to the last episode I did with you guys with tropes, there's almost a book that fits almost every trope. There's like one where one of the guys gets amnesia and cannot remember his mate or their kid. You have another one where it's like a broken marriage, or not a marriage because they don't call them marriage. They're mates, right? You have a broken mating that like both partners really don't want to be together, want to be together, don't want to be together, want to be together, right? You have like all of these tropes that, you know, fit a lot of the books. So it doesn't feel like it, you know, gets boring.
I don't think it will. It's not that I was bored reading the book. It's that I thought there will be more. I think that's my thing. I thought there will be more. But now that
the later books definitely have a lot more to them.
But I also, now that I know there's like 500 books in the series, I understand why she cut it. Like, you know,
right?
You know, like she just did wants that to
whet your appetite. As
a yeah, woman. Which I mean, listen, good for her to, you know, to do that. That's for sure. It keeps people interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I think the book has the whole series had a lot of potential. It would not have been something if I stumbled upon by myself. I would not have read it.
Yeah, then, it's definitely word of mouth is how I think the hype, as I said, because it was so hyped up, word of mouth is really how this, I think, became the sensation that it is, which...
that's how I started reading it.
Right.
And Romancelandia, Twitter.
Right, everybody
damn
was...
you for making me buy more books, guys. Come on.
Okay, so as I was...
You say this? It, are you kidding me?
I say this as I'm the one that shares like 50 buy links a day with you guys.
Right. And as I was, because Kim was asking me what my opinions are of next week's book. And I said, oh, I took a break from cooking and reading to go buy more books. Because, you know, I needed to go buy more books.
You did.
Because, you know, Twitter... wonder that it is, because it, you know, it has its good points and its bad points. And take this as you will find authors posting, and we're trying to post as much as we can, of when books go on sale for $1.99 or free. Sometimes they do have, they'll say, oh, it's just free for 24 hours, go get it. We've, you know, gone into that, and I was just like, and there was a book that Kim mentioned on our trope episode that I ended up buying because it was on sale for $1 today, and I was just like, there you go, and now I'm gonna see my, you know, bank statement, and it's gonna say dollar, 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 all on there, and like, okay, see where this is headed. So I could definitely, I would say, okay, so now that we're approaching that season, would you say, Kim, if people wanted like a good beach read, a beach read could be anything, guys. It doesn't have to be. It can be War and Peace if you really want it to be. But would you say, like, if somebody wanted to read this for the summer, they could probably read the whole series?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I've been doing audio for them. And I've listened to all of the books but one. The audio does not come out for it until, I think, late summer, the last time I looked. So I have not listened to that book yet. But, I mean, especially the early books, they go quickly. So you're sitting at the beach all day. You want to, you know, read. You want to listen to the audiobook. They're fun. They're not, they don't take themselves too seriously. And for me, that was, when I started reading them, it was right around Christmas. I was like super stressed with COVID, with the way it was changing Christmas. My grandmother was sick in her nursing home. We couldn't see her. You know, like there was a lot going on in my life that I did not want to be listening to something that was going to make me an emotional wreck like some romance novels do. And I don't say that in a negative. But I needed something that was more light. And this fit the bill for me. And, you know, before I knew it, it was helping me really ease the stress of the holidays and cookie baking and Christmas shopping and taking care of the kids and COVID and the weather. And, you know, we were in the process of buying my house. So there was like a lot going on that I just, so, you know, this like hit me right at the right time. And before I knew it, like a week had gone by and I listened to like 12 of the books in, you know.
So I think what we're all saying from our different reads of this book, I think it really depends on the time that you pick it up. And I think it's been kind of true of any of the books that we really discussed, where like it really depends on where you are in your life, if you're ready to read this perspective book. And like for Kim, it hit at just the right time. It's the thing she needed. For Gata and I feel it was a little bit, it's off. And I know we read it for the hype factor. Maybe I will down the road revisit it. And I apologize for calling it crap. Again, I think it just, it didn't hit me.
I don't think you said it. I don't think you said it the word translate. I think we describe things that we're addicted to in that way sometimes. We're like, oh my God, why am I doing this to myself? Or why am I reading? Or why am I eating this? But you love it. So it's it's a different description. You did not mean it in a negative way. No. You meant more of it like, how can I stop doing this? You know,
I think a friend of ours who God and I used to work with, as she would call these.
And Kim like, too, by the way.
And Kim too. Potato chip books. Like these are very, like you can gobble these up like potato chips before you know what you're 12 books in. Mm-hmm. So I would definitely say, because I think it's only available. Kim, you found it in the library, correct?
I found them in the library. That's how I first found them. Yeah.
My library did not have them. I was only able to do them through Kindle Unlimited.
I mean, they are available as hard copies. I think the Ice Planet Barbarian series, not all of it, like whatever is out, is one giant book. I think it's like $12 or something, if not more. I'm not sure. I have, you know, but you can definitely try and get it printed copy. It is available for free as a Kindle Unlimited, unfortunately.
I would say phone a friend. Phone a friend if you can get the
Get it from a friend. Try the library.
If the friend is recommending it to you, let them give you their copy or tell them how they got it, and that way I feel that's how it should get shared. Like if the friend says, "Oh, I read that book. Here you go. You need to read it." That they need to tell you how they got it, so that way you can read it. And maybe because so many people have talked about it, it will become more available through other libraries, because that's how libraries also get their books, is like, if enough people are demanding the thing in their area, then all right.
You know. I think, though, that there is, I could be wrong, but I believe that if a book is Kindle Unlimited, a library cannot get a copy of it. That's how I got the audiobooks, because it's Kindle Unlimited. The last I heard, you could not, Kindle would not allow libraries, like, because you're signing an exclusivity agreement with Amazon for your book publishing.
I couldn't get either through my particular library, so I had to do Kindle.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying, I'm being honest with the access. I don't know. Again,
I researched it. You could definitely get it. It's affordable to get it as a printed copy, and that way you probably can get all of it together.
It is why we appreciate you, Gata.
Oh, thank you. But you can also get it, you know, if you're fine with getting a Kindle, you could, you know, if you have a Kindle, that's how you get it then. I mean, that's fine. We won't judge you. I will judge you silently. No, I'm kidding. I won't judge you.
She's not kidding.
Not kidding. But she appreciates when her friends buy it and then she has access to it, though.
Yeah, that's true. That's how I got it. I read it through Colleen's.
It's an untold secret, Gata.
It's okay. But I think also you have to be prepared for how explicit.
Oh.
And how.
Yeah, we did not mention that. This is very not safe for work.
Yeah, like,
this is not as bad as other stuff we've read, Gata.
No, this was really bad because I didn't skip Colleen. I mean, Kim. I didn't skip this time because I was like, if I skip, there's nothing into the book. I was like, you know, it was a lot. I mean, it's not as bad as Katie Roberts, but it was a lot. Like, really.
I have read Brontier.
Yes, you have. I'm sure. And I'm so proud of you. I good for you.
Yes,
I'm like, yes, go Kim. But this was really, like, if you're listening to the audio, just be aware, it's not safe for work.
I've read raunchier, and I've read raunchier aliens, let me just say. Like I said, the J.R. Ward, Gina Showalter event, that was not the first time forked penis was ever in my vocabulary.
Oh my God, we're still on it.
Not the first time. Thanks, Morgan Hawkeye.
It would not be a podcast episode without mention.
Without the first time. Come on, Kim and I live to make Gata blush. Isn't that the minute
truer facts have never been uttered.
The minute Kim and I discovered each other because of Gata, we're like, oh, wait a minute. The reason why we exist is to make Gata blush.
Well, it was more like, oh, you like to do this to Gata too?
Wow.
Gata, I never have two people loved you more than the love Colleen and I have for you.
Oh, well, that's very so true. Sweet. That's so very sweet. True.
You complete me, Gata.
Oh.
Now that's a movie I don't like. I don't like that movie. Don't try to sell me.
What movie is that?
Jerry Maguire.
Oh, yeah. I don't know.
I don't get it. I tried. I don't understand.
I like the kid. He was adorable in that movie. That's all I like.
I think that was the only selling feature and probably why as many people saw it as they did.
Yeah. But, I mean, Kim, what are you reading?
Renee Zellweger has done better work.
She has, definitely. Kim, what are you reading besides Ice Planet, Ice Home, I guess?
Well, I can't read any more Ice Homes until the next audiobook comes out. But I've been continually finishing the Night Huntress universe by Janine Frost. I just finished the fourth Vlad book. And so all I have left now are the three Ian Veritas books.
Sidebar, speaking done. Of Vlad, did I send you the link, Kim? I did not. I know I sent it to Gata. Did you see what Dracula's Castle is offering? It's a vaccination site.
Yes. Ooh. Like, if I could go, I would.
I love it. Road trip.
I was just like, there are other people that appreciate this, but I know Gata and Kim are the two that would appreciate it right now because of the Vlad books.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely.
Love it.
Yeah. Oh, next week, we're reading another book of Kim's favorites. And mine, actually. Kim got me to read this. She got me addicted to it. I've not only read that series, but I started her next series, which I think we spoke about in the last episode. But next week, we're reading Lord of the Fading Lands by C.L. Wilson. And let me tell you guys, when we say that the world building in this book is just amazing. There's no comparison, and we're not hyping it up. You guys just have to read it. It's super. It's very phenomenal. Very good. It's phenomenal. Absolutely.
So I'm only in the middle of the book. I'm not going to say now where I am because I don't want to ruin it for our listeners. But definitely, I had said to Gata, like, I'm listening to it, but I can't listen while I'm at work, because that's usually how when I'm doing audiobooks, I can listen and work at the same time. This one, I'm like, because of the world building, I'm like, no, this needs my full and utter attention.
It's very high fantasy, so there's a lot of layers, a lot of characters, a lot of locations. It's, yeah.
Although, the one thing I will say, and I know I said this to Kim in one of our many chats, I said, every single time they say rain, tear, and soul, if I took a drink, I would need a new liver. Because I'm like, okay, stop saying it. I know who they're talking about. I'm like, stop saying it. I get it. Just abbreviate it now. Call them by something else, because I'm like, yeah, they're saying it too much. That's my only complaint. But other than that, I'm like, yep, I'm here. The world building, I need to see where this is going. What's going on? I mean, I have my hints. I want to see if I'm right. Like, I'm playing. That's the thing I like about, and I don't want to spoil it too much, but I'm like, when it's good world building, like, I think you how you said with the sprinkles that Ruby Dixon left in this series, like, you want to find out. I'm like, I'm playing detective. I want to see how it's going to end. How are they going to work together? Because you see the amount of problems that they're going to have. Like, you're like, okay, you know it's a romance book. They're going to end up together, but how are they going to end up together?
Like, all I will tell you is you can't figure that one out.
Yeah, it's
there's a lot of twists and turns that one takes.
Yeah.
I'm ready for it. But you know what I also enjoy of, part of me enjoys of, like, how I figured it out. And I know I've done it to Gata a couple of times with other books where I was like, oh no, I figured this out in book two on this page, but Gata didn't figure it out until like book four on this page. And I'm like, cause I'm very good at detective work. I'm very good at, wait, I'm not good at actual detective work. Right? But when it comes to fiction, I'm usually very good. So when they get me, I'm like, all right, that book automatically gets like 5 bajillion stars. Cause I was like, okay, you got me. I didn't figure it out until now. Bravo. I think that's probably why I like Karen Rose so much, because I don't figure it out until she lets you figure it out.
That's an author you should read, Kim. Mm. You loved the the murder, the Irish murder mystery
you read for book club.
Yeah, you would love this. It's very suspenseful, but it's so good. The world building in this is amazing, and the way she does things. Oh my god, I loved, like, I read, like, I think 3 of her books, and I love them. Very, very well done. Yeah. I think I need a reboot to my reading, like a recharge to get back into the reading, a book a day type of thing.
Marrying Winterborn.
I'm going to do it. I'm definitely going to do it, because again, Lisa Kleypas is one of my go-to comforts. Authors.
The last time this happened, didn't I tell you to read Marrying Winterborn and you did it? And you were like, Kim, it worked.
It did work. Yeah.
You just need Reese.
I know. I just need Reese. Yeah. I do. I do.
Okay. I can't eat books the way you guys eat them. I'm sorry. I'm trying. I said I think that's also the benefit of befriending Kim. I am trying to catch up to how fast. No, that's why I said such.
Don't judge yourself based on how much I read. I'm like freakishly fast at reading. I don't ever expect anybody to read as fast as me, except my friend Caroline. I always yell at her to read faster because I just want to talk to her about books more. I'm Caroline, trying. Read faster if you're listening.
Caroline, Kim is telling you to read faster. Do it. Do it.
Because you know what? I listened to a podcast today that says, like, don't feel guilty if you can't read everything or listen to everything. And I'm like, but I do. I can't help it. I'm like, I'm trying to read. And I'm like, okay. I have book two of Vlad that's due to, I always do this to myself. Some books, like I'll listen the minute I get it, but no, I like the added pressure of down to the wire of like, yeah. This book is due in 2 days. I need to finish it. And this is how you train your ears to listen at almost 2.0 speed. I'm not at 2.0 speed yet. I'll get there.
A lot of credit. I can make it up to 1.3 on Libro FM, and that's like, and then it gets into Chipmunks, and like, I gotta take this down a notch.
The highest I've done is 170. That's about it. 170 is where I can go. But anything further than that, even my dad has teased me. He goes, "How do you understand this?" And I was like, "Well, it was a J.R. Ward book, and I had it really fast, and I'm like, I've read it already, so it's not, so I don't need to hear every single curse word at regular speed." So I was like, it's fine. I could skip over a good chunk of, you know, F-bombs and, you know, SOL, you know, SOL. And I'm like, yep, I got it.
I mean, Colleen, you read at a freakishly speed. You turned on your Audible once, and I was there. I was like, oh my God, what are they saying? She's like, oh, sorry. This is my book. I'm like, I don't understand a word. What are you doing? What is this?
John teased me once because I was, again, it was a library book down to the wire, and I amped up the speed so I could finish it before it was due. I didn't. And he goes, I understood one word, and it was shit. That was it. I was like, I know what's going on. Don't worry.
Oh my God.
I'm the one listening. I need to know what's going on. That's it. I'm the only one that needs to know what's happening. And that's, but again, it's a skill that you need to train. You guys can read fast. I can listen fast. So there's my skill. My life skill set is I can listen real fast.
Hey, some people listen. Some people read. We all have different skills.
Unless it's, yeah, Richard Armitage. He is at the publisher's, like whatever the publisher says, you're supposed to listen to him at. That's the one that.
Listen, he has a very good voice, a reading voice for sure. Like, if you want to read a good, if you listen to a really good audio, find Richard Armitage and have him read you a book.
Oh, yes. Gata, did you listen to The Velveteen Rabbit or no?
I did, yes. I listened to it multiple times, actually.
Why did they not get him for 365? I feel that audiobook probably. No. I'm kidding.
No. The book is out, by the way. I just saw it in the, in a bookstore. So the book is out. Kim, I'm going to buy you a copy.
Oh my God.
I'm going to listen to the audio. Don't please.
And
I bought the audio a while ago, and I still have yet to listen to it because I was like, I got to listen to this for the pod. Oh no, I have to catch up with Lars Kepler. Let me go there.
Yeah. Lars Kepler is very good, Kim. If you're into, you need a mystery book, very good.
All right.
Also, if you don't want to sleep for a little bit, go ahead and listen to Lars Kepler.
Oh no, read him in the, read him in the daylight though. Yeah. I mean, Lars Kepler is two people, but read them in the daylight.
Yeah.
Don't read them at night.
Yeah.
Okay.
If you need to have the lights on, checking for weird noises. But again,
maybe I don't want to read him, guys.
I mean, you don't have to. Honestly, you don't have to. We're just
suggesting. Karen Rose, I would say read before Lars Kepler.
Yeah, I mean, if you want a good book, Kim loves a variety of books. And basically, Kim is like my, like when I imagine the audience listening to this, I imagine multiple Kims. And, you know, what they want to read. So there is, you know, the romance reader. There is the romance sci-fi reader, the paranormal, the mystery one. So we have everything you need here at the Romance Bar.
Yes.
Yeah. So I don't know if I will read the rest of them, Kimberly.
That's fine, because I tell you what happens in every single one of them anyway, so it's okay.
You do. I already know what happened to
you and Caroline are heartily invested in the Barbarian series, whether like, you asked to be or not.
I can tell you that from day one, she when Kim read the book, she's like, guys, this is what I'm reading. This is the plot. This is what's happening. And it's basically, you know, minute by minute update on how the story is going.
Caroline's fault.
She really does. She does egg you on. But you know what? She says what I'm thinking. And sometimes I can't type that fast. She beats me to it. And or I'm at work or something. I'm like, yes, Caroline, you ask all the important questions. So
I love you guys for listening to my barbarian shenanigans.
Absolutely. Keep going because I'm invested. I want to know more.
Yes. Now that we know who the first set of characters are, please continue.
Yeah, because I want to know what happens.
Without actually reading.
I mean, yeah, without actually reading. I mean, listen, if her books become available, to the public, to the greater public, I would not mind reading the rest of the series. That would be something I would do for sure. But right now, because they're, you know, limited to me,
yes.
Unfortunately, I won't be able to read the rest of it. So, yeah.
But I know that I did go buy the first Lord of the Fading Lands because I did borrow it from the library, but I ended up going to buy the first one.
Yes.
Caroline and I are starting that soon, this month. So we'll be reading the whole series.
So
that's what we chose to read this month.
I mean, now you know that
the Night Huntress.
You know that when I'm going to start reading Lord of the... I have to finish the whole thing. I'm not going to be able to read book one. That's just not the way things work for me.
Of course.
Especially with that book. And then I'm probably going to go and read The Winter King and The Sea King. And, you know, and we're going to see what happens there. Yeah.
No, but I did borrow the book to kick off our June books. So that's what I'll be jumping in after I'm done with Lord of the Fading Lands.
Yeah, it's gonna be an exciting couple of weeks here at the Romance Bar. Mm-hmm. Kim might be coming back. We don't know. She, you know.
Well, I have one book.
I promise I won't invite myself back again.
No.
I'm guessing here and now, there's at least one book that I know of that Kim will be on for June. I can feel it now.
There is.
I know which one. Oh, I'll tell you off pod.
Whisper in my ear. Tell
yeah,
me.
Yeah, we'll tell you off pod. Yeah.
And I think I know which one for July she will be here for.
Yes, I think so too. Yeah.
You guys want me back that many times.
Kim, I your said heart. You are the unofficial fourth member of this podcast.
Love you guys.
Love you too, Kimmy.
So I think it started with 365. I know it's going to keep going.
Yeah, it's not going to stop. It's definitely going to keep going.
Wait a minute. God. Oh, wait. Moving hold on, guys.
Stop giving.
What?
Our anniversary. 365, like, I think our one, like, the 1 year of doing this pod will be also when we got an when Kim May got a watch 365.
We're definitely going to have Kim back for that, and we're going to discuss.
We should have a 365 viewing party together.
Okay. Did they start making the second movie is my question. Or
I think so.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, did pandemic shut it down? Because
No, Italy is back and up and running.
I don't think they film in Italy. I think don't they film in Poland?
Well, I mean, they might change because I think Poland, yeah, I don't know, actually. People in Poland, hey, guys, if you're listening, are movies allowed to film? And are they filming 365? Please let us know. Thank you.
We need to know. I don't need to watch it. I just need to know that it's there in case I want to watch it.
I mean, you know that when they do it, we're going to watch it, Colleen, because Kim will definitely make me watch it. And
will by, there be another yacht, by default, my question?
By default, you're going to be watching it too, so stop it.
Will there be another yacht? That's all I need to know.
That's all Kim needs to know.
The questions we are all wondering. Thank you, Colleen.
Will there be another yacht? I don't think so, based on what I perused on the internet. I don't think there will be.
Well, well, they don't make another yacht-esque comparison scene. There's going to be a lot of very unhappy women.
There's a dude named Nacho. Yes, there's a dude named Nacho. I think he's a bodyguard, and he looks like Massimo.
Oh.
I think if I... All right, I could be really screwing this up. This was 3 a.m. perusal. Never... Okay. Follow... How I Met Your Mother, yes, has problematic things in it. We all will agree. But there is one episode in the final season that everyone agrees with. Nothing good happens after 2 a.m.
I think that's just... That's a general rule in life right now. Right. Nothing good happens after 2 a.m. Yeah.
No good Google searches come after 2 a.m. Okay?
Definitely.
The freakish thing growing on your toe. Don't Google it after 2 a.m. Don't
do it. Oh, my God.
That wasn't me. I'm just saying in general, blanket statement, you're not going to get good responses. What is this noise? Don't Google it after 2 a.m. Just don't. You're not going to be happy with the results. If you do, just do it in an incognito mode. That's the only way to survive. But until next week, good night, ladies.
Good night, ladies.
Good night, ladies. Good night, Colleen. Good night, Kim.
Good night. If you would like to follow us, you can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at The Romance Bar.
You could also email us at romancebar@acpnet.net.